One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
That was, if we were in the Olympics, that was very synchronized. And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Midwest Married. And tonight, we brought our good friend Sarah back on.
Welcome Yay! Back.
Welcome back.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah. So we're gonna talk a little bit about friendships and some loyalty. So we found some stories on that. And we also have a listener write in. Ooh. To tackle and give some advice on some friendship stuff.
So that is completely brand new.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's neat.
I'm Amy.
I'm Matt.
Thanks for being here and listening with us. We are a podcast that talks about all sorts of different things. Friendships, marriage, kids, relationships, etc. So we're just really happy that you're here hanging out. And you are running the show today, Matt, because Sarah and I decided that we're just going to hang out and drink wine together and
be friends.
Yeah. I picked this topic because friendship over the years is an interesting thing. I think that with like the loyalty aspect and our friendship, Sarah and I, very good friends.
Now.
Also, in my brain, we were really good friends as well. It was just, you had your friends back.
I did.
Simple as that. All right. Well, we'll get to that.
We'll get to it.
Let's dive in. And the title is, Am I the Asshole for Saying My Best Friend Settled for Her Husband Because She Was Desperate? My BFF Mia and I, both 32 female, have known each other since we were 12, but only became close at college. We are different in many ways, like our views on marriage, kids. I never want to get married or have kids. Mia's had her wedding planned since she's been 10 and always told everyone that she'll be married by 27. Travel for a year before having her first kid. By the time she turns 30, Mia always tells me, I'll change my mind one day. And she brings it up often. It's annoying, to say the least. But backstory, in 2015, Mia reconnected with an old classmate on Facebook, Pete, from our home country, and they started dating long distance. 4 months later, she visited Pete and told everyone that they were engaged.
Whoa. That's fast.
Very fast.
I asked. Pete. Yeah. Good job. I asked her if she was sure, and she said they were in love and couldn't wait to be married so she can sponsor him and be together in the same country. Ooh. I'm ashamed to say my first thought after she told me that was he was using her to get a green card. Their wedding was planned for summer 2016, but in early 2016, it was revealed Pete had been cheating with his ex. And she had DM'd Mia pics screenshots of their texts because she found out about the wedding and felt guilty. Mia confronted him, and they argued for hours with him admitting he was using her for a green card and would divorce her later.
So she was right.
In 2018, Mia again reconnected with another classmate, Jay. So Mia, Jay, and Pete all went to the same primary school together. Jay and Pete are friends, and Jay knows about what happened. Mia and Jay got married in our home country in late 2019. I was her maid of honor. The immigration process got delayed because of COVID, but Mia and Jay were finally reunited in 2021. Months later, she announced she was pregnant, gave birth to a boy in February of 22. Everything was moving super fast, but Mia was happy to be a mom at 30. I recently started a new remote job that gives me a lot of freedom, so I decided I would solo travel. I have a close group of friends, and we do this weekly girls' night. Mia gave birth again in October and hasn't been able to join us, so last week she invited us to her house for dinner. During dinner, a friend asked me about my travel plans. At this point, only this friend knew. When the others found out, they were happy for me. Mia, on the other hand, was quiet and seemed annoyed. One friend said she was envious of me and wishes she could do the same thing. Mia scoffed and said anyone could do that if they were irresponsible. It got quiet and I just stared at Mia. I asked what she meant. I said, I'm spending my own money. I'll still be working. So how am I being irresponsible? She said that I haven't grown up yet and only wanted to have fun when I should be settling down. I told her I didn't want to settle down. And just because I'm not married with kids doesn't mean I'm not a grown-up. She said my life is meaningless, so I said, at least I'm not desperate enough to fly to a different country and marry the first guy that I saw.
Ooh, that was maybe a bad way to handle that.
I think I'm the asshole for basically throwing the whole Pete thing in her face, knowing how hurt she was. Am I the asshole?
Yikes.
There's a lot of different avenues that we can tackle here. So go ahead, Sarah. Give us your spiel.
Well, I think this is what I think about. I think everybody has a different idea of what their life is going to look like. And if I were to go back, and we could probably all go back, who do you think would have gotten married last in our group of friends?
You.
Who got married first?
You.
Yeah. And so I think it's hard to like say that I don't want to get married and I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. And then if you meet the right person, then that might change your mind. And maybe the poster just hasn't met the right person, so just doesn't quite get it. But then also, I think her friend needs to really respect her choices. There are people that decide that marriage isn't for them or they haven't found the right person. And it also can be hard for that person to see their friends having a family. Like I think about my sister's single, probably really wishes she had a family and doesn't. She's actually divorced, so, you know, had the chance, it didn't work out. And so I think there's just a lot of dynamics there, and nobody really knows what other people are going through, and you need to be cognizant of that and make sure that you're sensitive to that. And I don't think the original poster was, and I also don't think her friend was. So I think they're both in the wrong. I think they're both the assholes here.
Everybody sucks. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Mm-hmm. I do. The thing that I kept stewing on during this, reading this entire story was like, oh my gosh, the Mia has such this planned out version of her life that I feel like that's almost to her detriment. Mm-hmm. Or at least in my life, in my experience, whenever I had plans for myself and I was like, I'm going to do this by this time and this by this time and this by this time. Life just never went that way. And now looking back, I'm glad that it didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, I had thought that Matt and I were going to get married when we were 22 or something, right? In fact, there was a surprise birthday party.
I was going to say, we have a story about that.
Matt threw me a surprise birthday party, I think, for when I turned 22. That was a real awkward one because...
Do you remember that? You look shocked. No, okay.
I think we have talked about that on one of the other episodes.
Oh, did we?
But
yeah, I thought you were going to propose and you didn't. Mm. And so, yeah, timeline. Looking back, we both agree that had we gotten married when we were younger, just because we needed to grow so much, we would likely be divorced by now had that actually happened. So we're in a much better spot. So if Mia is being so regimented about like, I need to accomplish all these things by this age, I feel kind of sad and bad for her, because then that is the question. Well, did you settle? Because you're like, well, I need to, I want these other things.
Well, that's kind of what my sister, I feel like, went through. You know, she thought she was going to get married young. She thought she was going to have kids right away. And then it didn't work out. And now, you know, she's at this point in her life where that's maybe not in the cards for her really anymore. And so if you settle too soon, it may screw up things in the future. But then you also can get to the point where if you don't jump at it soon enough. You know, I think there's a lot to be said for right person, right place, right time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not, I don't feel like that's settling. I feel like there's a difference there, but I do feel like sometimes if you're both in the right place, you are going to be more successful together and not really settling.
And I think that also when you're older and you meet somebody, mm-hmm. I think that you, or I've heard often that you just like know more, like, mm-hmm. oh, this is the person. Maybe it's because you've experienced so many people who are not the person, so that when you meet the person or date the person that you are meant to be with, then it's just apparent. And so you can have a really short engagement and that can work out for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that does not work out. But yeah, Matt and I clearly dated for 12 years. So, that wasn't for us.
I mean, Brian and I were still, I mean, we got married after dating for, I mean, it was 6 or 7. So it was a longer relationship too. But I think when you're in college, that's just more common. But when you get into your 30s, like these women are, it's just more likely to be fast.
Yeah. So
the people might roast me.
I would say, what's male opinion?
It's real bad.
It's so, real bad.
Uh-oh.
And maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe this is a real thing, right? Women, if you, especially if you want to have kids, mm-hmm. you're on a clock, right? And do you want 1 kid, 2 kid, 3 kids? What's that number look like? And as in my experience, what I've seen, once these individuals who really want to have kids, they hit 34, 35, it's like the first next person they meet, it's got to lock them down because I need to have kids and I need to get on this timeline. Now, in this story, Mia is 28, 29, mom by 30. So I feel like she still had some time. So maybe that's not accurate, but I've definitely seen people settle for a partner that probably they wouldn't have ever picked had they not been on that timeline.
Mm-hmm. Really, I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really wanting the dream of having their own family and being pregnant and having that experience.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's always the option of, you know, freeze your eggs or surrogacy, but all of those options are really expensive. Even adoption, very expensive.
Well, and I think also it's very hard to be a parent the older you get. At least in my experience, you know, I think it would have been a lot easier physically to have kids younger. You would have been able to get on the ground easier, move around with them. You'd have more energy. You know, there's a reason why you're most fertile at your youngest when you first get your cycles. Wow.
However,
you know, and so, yeah,
I have.
This is why I said in one of the last episodes, should have knocked you up when we were like 21.
I mean, I think it would have been in some ways easier, but harder in others.
I'm sorry.
You interrupted me.
Go on.
And so
go
did
on.
I. So did I. It's okay.
Okay. So I heard a statistic though about how the older you are when you parent, it's kind of that flips, like you might have your physical vitality when you're younger, but when you're older, you have the emotional maturity. And so kids sometimes do a little bit better. I got to look up that stat later, but exactly what that was. Mm-hmm. But so there is like, it's a toss of the coin. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you want?
Pull it up.
Yeah. But it also gets harder to have kids the older you get. You know, I think there's a lot of women as they age and couples who struggle more to have kids the older they get. And so you can feel like you're on a timeline. And I think that makes it difficult. Brian and I have a really good friend who is an older male who's in his mid-40s who still wants to have kids and is looking to find a relationship to have kids. But he's trying to date people his own age and they're not interested in that. And so then now he's looking younger and younger and younger, but then he's not connecting emotionally. And so there's just so many dynamics. And I think to try to back to the story, because I think we've gone woo this way, is I think to try to judge somebody else's relationship and what makes it work or not work is just not really anybody's place to be or anybody's place to do. And you should just respect that.
Yeah. And props to OP for going out and traveling and living your best life.
I wish I could do that.
Fabulous. I'm sitting here being like, wow, that sounds amazing.
After a rough day with the kiddos, that sounds great.
Super good. Okay, I found the thing.
All right,
let's hear.
All right, some research suggests that older parents may feel less stress and more contentment and joy after having children than younger parents. Others say that having children later in life can allow parents to focus more on their younger child's early development, as their older children are at school and more independent. However, older parents may also experience drawbacks such as declining fitness and energy levels, or missing out on seeing their children bond with other family members.
Mm. We feel that.
We were right on.
Mm-hmm. We feel that because my sister-in-laws both had their kids younger and we had our kids older. And so, I mean, my girls are 8 and their closest cousins are in their 20s. And so we definitely feel that. So,
And just generally have less time with grandparents, or
that's why you guys are our cousins. We call their kids our cousins because we don't really have cousins that are the same age. And we, you know, we all grew up with our cousins.
Yeah.
Personally, I like the clap back.
Oh, okay. Yes.
The dig at the end.
The dig. It was a dig. She was over it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She was over it, which then makes me question, where is their friendship going to be? And are they still going to maintain that friendship? That was just
They're clearly going in different directions with their life too. So
it does make it harder to maintain friendships when you're doing this.
Yeah,
I agree. Are there any more updates?
Okay, yes. What are the comments? What are the updates?
So I do not see any updates from OP, but basically the overall is everyone is the asshole.
That's what I said.
Way to go.
You got it right. Excited. That's what I said.
Yep. If a friend was hounding me all night long and basically trying to invalidate my chosen lifestyle in front of people, I'm unloading a clip on her.
Yep.
Not the asshole. Asshole. Overall, everyone is the asshole. It's pretty repetitive, but Mia started it, which she should have kept her mouth shut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if she's envious of that travel because she didn't get to do it because of her choices,
right?
You know, that's her own fault. But then OP, you took it a little far.
I mean, it was a little strong, but sometimes, like, if you take it to that strength, then they know you mean business and they're not going to do it again, hopefully. Like, hopefully they learn from that instead of being a little more gentle about it. So, I mean, it's not great. It's not great, but I could see how it would be effective, but it's a risk. You're risking your friendship when you're responding like that.
Well, and I wonder if alcohol was involved. Mm-hmm. I wonder, you know, sometimes you just got to get that stuff out there and hopefully they can still come back together and be better. I mean, we read a statistics about like that 60% of relationships after getting in an argument come back together stronger. So hopefully they're part of that 60% and not part of the 40% that go their separate ways. Mm-hmm. But maybe it needed to be said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds a little, kind of similar to a situation that you just had recently.
That's why I was giggling over here.
I did unload a clip at the bar on a friend last night. We just came to a crossroads and I wasn't having it, and I unloaded. Out of line? Yes. Should have been handled differently? Absolutely. But at the same rate, that person was long overdue. Knows how, it wasn't sugar-coated. My people-pleasing self disappeared. He's gone. I don't know where he went, but that person knows how I feel now, and ultimately, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It was bad, but we are going golfing tomorrow.
So maybe you can hash it out. I think you guys will come out of it.
And maybe it'll be stronger.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
It kind of was one of the reasons why you reacted the way you did was because it's been issues that has been brought up before, and it's just, again, you guys are in two completely different spots in your life.
Right, the life plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the life plan. where I'm at, where they're at, mm-hmm. just not lining up. Expectations are different of one another, and now we're on the same page.
He knows where you're coming from now.
Hopefully. I got good feelings.
You can update us next week how golf went.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Good plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One time, I threw a burrito at Sarah.
It's not wrong.
Just to switch the subject here.
Yes.
So we were, you know, I unloaded that burrito. Mm-hmm. It was perfect. Just.
And it hit the window up.
Who's going to tell the story? I think Sarah should.
I'll tell the story. Okay. So in college, we all lived together. Yes. Amy was my roommate. We had another roommate who didn't really hang out with us a lot. She hung out with us sometime, but not a lot.
Yeah.
I had a friend in college who was a really good friend to me. I was in a lot of classes with her. When it was just me and her, we got along really, really well. But when we got around other people, she was like a completely different person. And so fast forward, we were at, I think, the beach or somewhere. And we have a like...
Nope.
We were at
a Huskies baseball well, game.
I don't know. Where did we pick up the guys, though? I think we picked them up at the beach. I think that's where we originally met them.
Oh, I don't even think I was there.
Went to the baseball game.
And then we went out afterwards. Yeah. So we were at the beach. We met these like Husky baseball players who is like the small town team. But I mean, maybe it's not a small
town.
It's
like...
It's a semi-pro team.
Okay. And so we met these couple guys. We were like, hey, let's meet up tonight. I think they got us tickets to the game. We all went to the game. We all went out.
But Matt was not with us because Matt and I were on a break.
You were on a break. And then I think...
Right?
Nope.
I don't think so.
Nope.
Were we just fighting?
We had a fight.
Oh, we had a fight.
And then I think, didn't Amanda say something to you about something? And then we invited the guys over to the house. We lived in a townhome at the time. And then one of the guys locked Matt out of the house. And I thought it was fucking hilarious. I was sober. Just kidding. I wasn't at all. And I thought it was funny. And we were laughing and we were giggling. And Matt was real mad.
He wouldn't let me in the house.
I just wanted
to go to bed.
I don't think that I was giggling. I was just mad at you.
You were asleep upstairs.
Oh, were you there?
Yeah, you were upstairs.
I'm like, why is this so fuzzy?
Well, I think it's all a little fuzzy. I do remember the burrito hitting the window, and it was like a good burrito. Like, that place doesn't exist anymore, and it's a little sad to think about. It was a good burrito.
So Matt was locked out of the house, and as he walks away, takes perfect aim at the window.
There was Sarah and Amanda doing dishes or pouring drinks. Probably pouring drinks,
let's be honest.
Oh, through the roof. We've come a long way.
We didn't all have bad times in college. We had some really good times, too.
Well, Sarah, I could see you being like, Matt, Amy doesn't want to see you right now. You need to leave.
Well, I bet that was said. I do think that there were times where I did that. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the only reason we struggled at first is because we both loved this woman so much. And so it's, you know, we figured it out now. And now we're mm-hmm. best buddies.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
And that's... was going to bring up the loyalty factor.
Yes.
I think that is super important. I had a really good friend, and we know who he is. I won't mention his name, but he had my back 100%. And Amy and that individual.
We did not get along at all because like he was Sarah.
He had my back. He was my Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he would antagonize me just like Sarah would antagonize you when we were not agreeing on things. And he would always have your side. And we're friends now. We're friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've come a long way as well. And also you grow a lot, right?
Like, oh, for sure.
The drama is so much. It's so, there's a lot of emotions when you're in your early 20s. Mm-hmm. And then it calms down a little bit as you grow up.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Oh, for sure it calms down. We haven't had a throwdown in 15 years.
It's been a long time.
Longer than that, probably.
Yeah.
Meh. Look. Yeah. All right. So will I be the asshole?
Will I? Mm. Oh, this is a new take.
If I ask my pregnant wife to move out because she's...
Yes. 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 Do you even have to go on?
Will I be the asshole if I ask my pregnant wife to move out because she and her best friend decided to test my loyalty?
Oh, this sounds juicy.
This is weird.
Okay.
My wife is pregnant with our daughter. Initially, we were really happy and excited about it. But then she starts acting like a nut job. She gets angry and irritated for small things, insults me when she doesn't like the food I make, starts acting insecure, and accuses me of losing attraction for her. For example, she wanted to eat chicken sandwiches for dinner last week. Well, I made chicken sandwiches. So she eats all the sandwiches, leaves me nothing, and told me that they tasted like shit. I wasn't pissed because she left me nothing. But if she didn't like them, why did she have to eat everything? When I asked her, when I asked her this, she told me that she was hungry. Okay, fine. She does this every time. Eats everything in sight and then calls it trash. I don't argue with her because I work for more than 80 hours a week and I really just want to have some peace when I'm at home. So yesterday, a random girl starts flirting with me after the gym and asked me if I wanted to meet up with her for some drinks. Rejected her and told her that I was married. And when I got home, my wife started to hug me and apologize. When I asked her what happened, she told me that her best friend suggested a test of loyalty.
No.
So they asked a mutual friend to flirt with me and asked me out. I passed. Yay! I'm really pissed. I'm done with her antics. So will I be the asshole if I ask her to move out?
Wow.
Yes, I think that you would still be the asshole in this situation if you ask her to move out. I think that's going a bit too far. Should she have done this? No, absolutely not. Pregnancy hormones are a real thing. Hormones in general can make you feel all sorts of different ways that you've never felt before. Matt, you and I have said, like, when I was pregnant, like, our relationship was not, like, that wasn't the pinnacle of our relationship, right?
Yeah, that wasn't healthy for us.
Yeah, I was like, because I was like, oh, some of our friends can't get pregnant. Maybe I could be their surrogate. And Matt was like, absolutely not. We cannot survive that. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I would do it for them, though. Okay, so anyway, like, eating the different foods, being agitated and irritated and just, like, having a short... quick to anger. I think that that could all be related to the pregnancy hormones. I also wonder if as she's pregnant, is she now developing like so many body insecurities as her body is changing and she's having all those, these hormonal changes. I think her best friend probably steered her wrong more than anything.
Absolutely.
Her best friend should have been like, honey, you are gorgeous. Your husband is never going to look at another woman in a million years because he'd be so stupid to do that. Look at how beautiful you are. You are glowing. Those are all the correct answers. And it's the correct answer is not, let's do a test and see how loyal he is.
I agree.
So should he kick her out for that while she is pregnant? No. Do you need to sit down and be like, dude, why? What is your why behind this? Like, where is this coming from? And then hopefully just know that there, I mean, the light at the end of the tunnel is a baby, so they're still going to have a lot of hormones, and so it might still take quite a while.
A couple years, maybe.
Breastfeed a long time. Right, to get kind of back to who you are, or back to your normal self, but he should be a little more understanding.
I have a question. Yeah. Well, I just have a question, because on the flip side, what was the relationship like before this? Was it good? Was it not good? I mean, I think pregnancy and hormones, I 100% agree with you. You go batty a little bit. But like, if they weren't in a good place before this and then they got pregnant, you know, maybe they aren't meant to be together. And just because she's pregnant, if the relationship isn't good, that could be more detrimental moving forward for everybody involved, including the baby. And so that's where my head goes, is like, what brought this on? You know, is it just the hormones or was there something before this that made her go this to this extreme? And so maybe he shouldn't kick her out, but maybe he could leave if he felt like this was the right answer for them.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? That's like, if point. It's not meant to be, it's going to be more detrimental to everybody. And we went to that conference and they talked about how, you know, if the mental health of the mom isn't good, both pregnant and postpartum because of X, Y, Z, whatever, then it's going to be harmful on the baby. And they're more likely to have depression, anxiety as they grow up and get older. And so if it's not a good situation and it's not a healthy relationship and they're both feeling that angst, then maybe they're not meant to be together. And even though they're pregnant, that maybe shouldn't be the only reason they stay together.
Yes. Yeah. So my assumption was they had a beautiful relationship right. beforehand. This is a complete 180 mm-hmm. from how she was before she was pregnant. I think he needs to get more info. He needs to sit down, mm-hmm. chat with her, and then how their relationship was.
Right. Like, did he cheat beforehand. On her before? Mm-hmm. Did she cheat on him before? You know, what? Where did this come from? Seems mm-hmm. so left field.
Yeah. What do you think?
She's 25 weeks pregnant at this point.
Okay. She's probably, if it's her first pregnancy, barely even showing.
But you're still bloated. Oh, you're yes. still like.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, really, that's when your breasts are great and big and beautiful. Just saying. Yeah. I mean, mine were.
Yes.
They were.
They were.
That is a perk mm-hmm. of you being pregnant. They were good.
Mm-hmm. And then they just... After breastfeeding. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why you like small boobs, because they get big and then they just go back.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. They okay. like Coke or Pepsi.
It's true.
You prefer one, but you'll take either.
You'll take either.
I'm like, I've heard this. I've heard you say this before. You need to finish.
That's a good joke. I've seen that or heard that.
Yeah,
that's funny. What's your take? You didn't give a take.
I'll give you. All right, here it is. So I'm gonna say, like, okay, shitty move on the wife's part to do that. Why even put it out there in the world to give somebody the opportunity? He wasn't out looking, like, shitty move. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, buddy, your wife's pregnant. Are you going to divorce her? Are you going to ask her to move out and this is it? You're done? And why are you working 80-hour weeks? Like, 80-hour weeks, you either own your own business or you're insane.
Mm-hmm. Or you're working two jobs because you have to.
But then he's coming home and cooking her supper all the time. I mean, wow. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And maybe he's just a stand-up dude.
He paints himself that way in this post. And so part of me is like, this doesn't seem right. Too good to be true.
I want to know about OP.
Mm-hmm.
And how big are these chicken sandwiches?
I mean, who doesn't love a chicken sandwich? Come on.
Multiple chicken sandwiches? How many did she eat? All the chicken sandwiches? It just doesn't.
Sliders? I don't know.
Oh, sliders. Chick-fil-A style. Yes. Okay. It's gone. I'm going to ask a question. Husband is like, yeah, you know what? I'll go grab a drink with you. Got some time.
Oof.
But keeps it strictly platonic. Like, hey, like, do you come and work out here often? Like,
Nope.
No?
Mm-mm. Well, and it sounds like she was very flirtatious.
And propositioning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
No. I want the transcript. I want the dialogue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. More info.
There's no other.
There's no updates? What are with these stories? I need to know more.
But people are. He is the asshole, according to the internet. They're mm-hmm. roasting him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kicking her out is way too far. Get some couples therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It got so bad. There was some slurs. The moderator.
Oh my goodness.
Stepped in.
People felt strongly.
Wow.
Very strong. Yep.
Also, I was really kind of confused by that line where he was like, "We were initially very excited about this baby coming."
Yes.
What was that about?
Yes.
Because he's not excited about it anymore because he wants to divorce his wife.
Well, this is what makes me think maybe things weren't all sunshine butterflies and roses. Mm-hmm. Or sunshine and roses. Whatever.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Could be butterflies.
I think
too?
Isn't it butterflies?
I think it's anything you want it to
be.
Oh,
okay. All right. Butterflies.
Yeah.
Don't kick her out. You kick her out.
No.
You will be the asshole.
Absolutely.
That's the question, right? He hasn't done it yet. So he's got some time.
If he's done, right? Then move out.
15 more weeks.
That's your choice.
Yeah, he should move out.
If he's done, then move out.
Practically lives in the office anyways.
Seriously, just get a couch.
Just bring your cot.
Bring a cot. Bring a
pillow.
Bring a sleeping bag. I got a sleeping bag.
Did you?
Side note. I did.
Off the website?
Was it sale? Yes.
It was like 50% actually think it was off.
A North Face one. It's called Ooh. The Cat's Meow.
Oh,
well, meow. That, and Brian says it all
know,
the time.
I know, I was going to say that.
He actually bought it for me because he was like, cat's meow. And I was
it's
like,
just meant
okay.
to be. It was meant to be.
Yeah, it's good.
20 degree bag?
20 degree because I got fucking cold.
Okay. Like,
Sarah was one of our camping buddies. In the Boundary Waters.
I was the one that started the friend camping Boundary Waters trip because I am a little bit bougie and had never been like actually camping. Like I've slept in a tent, but never was camping. And so I asked our friends to take us and I've had a great time. I feel like I really can rough it.
Yeah.
But only for 4 days. 4 days was enough. I was like, okay, I'm ready to be done roughing it after 4 days.
We did good.
We did real good.
Aside from mm-hmm. the mosquito bites. We did good.
Oh, did you tell your mosquito bite story? Okay, good.
Yeah. Check out the last episode.
I mean,
it's a good one.
I mean, the first year, I literally, the first time we portaged, I ran out yelling, give me all the deet. So I get it, honey.
Give me
I get
the
it.
Deet.
All the deet. I need the
Maybe
deet.
Maybe it's a rite of passage.
It is.
Terrible rite of passage.
Oh my God.
Whoever else is new that comes with us on this, I'm going to...
Mosquitoes are awful. We figured it out now, though. I feel like we've got it dialed in.
Give me all the deet.
I did need all the deet. I literally ran out of the fucking woods with a big 100-pound pack on my back.
So you had mentioned earlier, you have a story.
I do. Because I feel like everybody probably thinks, like, how does Sarah now love Matt? Because I've told a lot of stories... We've told stories about how we've struggled in the past. And
am I just like off base here? We got along well.
It was never that we didn't love each other. It was like the protectors in both of us.
We just
butt heads.
We just battled.
Yeah, we did.
But just because you battle somebody and fight with them doesn't mean you don't love them.
I think love is a really strong word.
She only liked you, Matt.
I only liked you, but I really love you now. I mean, we came around. So one of my favorite Matt stories, and this just goes to show that, like, even if I was a little bit of a bitch at times and tried to make your life hell, I mean, I am here for it. But in a good way, because I was protecting my bestie, and that's what I felt like I was doing, and I felt like it was in the right. But despite all of that, you came and picked me up one night. Very drunk. Do you remember this story?
I did.
We had this other kind of like friend, and it was like a friend's girlfriend who then they broke up, and then she lived in our basement. Do you remember her?
Who?
Heather. She lived in our basement, and I went,
the blonde.
The blonde. Yeah. And so I went out with her one night. Anyways, I went out with her and got just drunk, and Matt came and picked me up. And we were chatting and whatnot, and everything was spinning in my world, and we got pulled over. Do you remember this?
I do.
Right in front of where we lived, and we lived in these townhomes, and we got pulled over, like, right in front of the road, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, he's talking to the cop, and I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I don't think I was 20. Well, I probably was 21 at that point. No?
20.
I probably was 20 because it would have been the summer. Yeah, I was 20. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get in so much trouble. And I'm thinking to myself, can I like jump out of this car right now and like jump? There was like a big fence. I'm like, can I jump that fence and like get home? And Matt's talking to the cop and the cop's talking to him. And I'm just looking straight ahead, about to pee my pants. And Matt's just like, yeah, you know, we're just coming home. I think you said we were coming from a movie or something. I don't even remember. But I just sat there like this and he let us go. And you had my back. And that's what I felt like at that point in time. And I was like, you know, Matt, he could have been like, yeah, I just picked her up from a party. You could have thrown me under the bus. And you didn't.
It was a movie.
It was a movie.
That
or something.
Would have been a shitty thing to do.
I know. You had my back. You really did. And I think in the long run, I had your back too. But as long as you were being
good.
You
were trying to set Amy up on other dates. You were excited about some other dates when we were on like a break. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You really just had my back.
But it all worked out in the end because, you know, I think everybody needed to make sure it was the right thing. And I think in the end, it all worked out.
It was great.
But now who is your waterfall buddy? Who will go swim with you in waterfalls and flip-flops?
Sarah's the only one that will...
Break the rules.
Break the rules.
That's true.
Yes.
I'm a rule breaker.
Mm-hmm. I'm a rule follower.
Don't go there. I'm going to go there. I want to know why I can't go there. I want to see it. I'm going to do it.
They will break the rules.
We will.
I'm going to watch them, make sure they're safe. Mm-hmm. Once they prove to me that it's safe, then I'll go and
then
join.
I'll break the rules.
Yeah, then I'll break the rules.
And Brian just sits there and shakes his head at us and just complete disgust.
Sometimes he'll break the rules too.
He kind of does.
Me and Brian, we're kindred spirits here.
But this is why we all get along so well. And I think it goes back to the fact that we are very similar people.
Yeah, I would agree.
And that's just why. And it's, you know, why we get along so well now, why we both love this,
I know
this woman
I like.
So much.
I know
and why she
I
loves
like.
Us so much. Mm-hmm. Just works. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad for it. I'm glad for our history. I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't. Maybe you would.
There's a few instances.
Burrito.
I am proud of that.
No, okay.
I'm not even.
Do you want to know my other favorite Matt story? Oh. I have another good Matt story.
Go ahead.
So I like to make salsa. Do you remember this
story? This is the best story.
And so we were making salsa. And it's fresh salsa. And so we're chopping. And everybody's chopping something and helping. Matt says he's going to cut the jalapenos because he's helping. And he's like, I'm the man. I'm going to cut the jalapenos. We're like, great. Cut the jalapenos. So
I was asked to cut the jalapenos. I had never cut a jalapeno before.
So he did not use gloves.
Didn't
or
do what
anything.
He should have done.
Just chopped them up, stuck them in the salsa.
So after he chopped said jalapeno, he went upstairs to take a shower. What do you do before you take a shower?
I peed.
You pee. Everybody does. I mean, at least I think. Everybody goes to the bathroom before they take a shower. And what was on his hands when he went to take a shower? Jalapeno juice.
Yeah. So that.
So then we just hear, I think you just like yelled for
you
me.
You were yelling.
Amy. Because your penis was burning.
Yes.
Terribly. Yep. And that when hurt. You hit the water, you told me.
Because water makes it worse.
Yes.
Way worse.
Yes. So what we ended up doing.
I had no idea. That was a life lesson. So basically, I stuck my junk in a gallon of milk.
Yeah, no, that was my idea.
Mm-hmm. And it worked.
It worked.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
It's just the right thing to do. It's milk.
So if that ever happens to you, go grab the milk out of the fridge.
And stick your penis in it.
But perhaps just avoid it altogether. Maybe wear gloves. Because even if you wash your hands, you have to do it really, really good because it's oil.
Mm-hmm.
It's oil.
Mm-hmm. It was bad. So I had to call in from work.
Yeah,
it was
you did. Did you tell your boss what had actually happened?
Yeah. She was cool. Like me and Kristen, we were tight, man. I just said, I'm going to tell you about it later, but I cannot come in. It was only a 3-hour shift.
Burning.
So I have a memory and I've been waiting for this. Like,
tell the story.
I'm going to have a question, but it happened at that location. So this kind of plays into it. All right.
Okay.
Am I the asshole for sleeping naked on top of the covers to teach my flatmate's girlfriend a lesson?
Uh-oh.
All right, y'all. I'm new to Reddit, so bear with me. So, 21 guy here. I live with my childhood best friend, 22, also a guy, and have done so now for 2 years. Up until last week, things were perfect. However, he recently got a new girlfriend, 23, lady. And she honestly seems absolutely great, except for one thing. She seemingly has a complete aversion to knocking. She and I have quite a lot in common, and I actually like spending time with her. However, it bugs the hell out of me when she just barges into my room without knocking. Now, she's never walked in on me doing anything
untoward.
Untoward.
Mm-hmm. Untoward.
I'm usually just chilling on my bed or studying at my desk. You gonna make it?
No. But yes. Sorry. I'm gonna pull it in.
However, on at least 7 separate occasions now, she's done it first thing in the morning to ask if I want coffee. I sleep naked. Every time prior to the last one, I've been under the covers and she hasn't seen anything. I always point out that she could have and just giggles and says, but I didn't.
She's trying to.
Oh, especially if she knows.
She knows.
When she stayed over last week, in order to make my point, I intentionally slept on top of the covers. Mm. Sure enough, barges in at 7 a.m. and begins to ask if I want coffee and sees the whole cash and prizes. She immediately backed out of the room and didn't speak to me for the rest of the day. My mate later pulled me aside and said I was bang out of order.
What? It's his room.
Yeah.
Accused me of deliberately exposing myself and pointed out that I'd threatened to do it before. I literally just said, okay, but what if I had no covers on and you saw everything before? They're now framing this to others that I'm some sick creep who intentionally got naked and laid there and waited for her because that's how I get my rocks off. And I'm kind of seeing how it came off that way, but am I the asshole for doing this?
No, I think that is hilarious.
I think it's hilarious too.
Because obviously they've talked about it and he's probably been like, dude, you can knock.
Right. Well, that's just it. I mean, like, you can ask somebody for coffee through the door. You don't need to come into the room.
Knock, knock.
I'd never go into someone's room. Mm-mm.
No, that sounds, it feels weird and way too personal. And they could be doing anything.
Right. And in the morning, too? You never know what's happening in the morning.
Mm.
I would, like, even when we travel together, I'm up, I'm making coffee. I don't know if I have ever gone into somebody's room, but I would at least knock and say, hey, you decent? Mm-hmm. You good?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what time of day it is, 7 a.m., 7 p.m.
Just common courtesy, man.
Yeah. That's odd.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like she's refusing to knock.
Right.
Yeah. So being that he called it out, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree.
He called her out.
That's weird.
And I was with you for a period of time. Like, maybe she wanted to see what was going to happen. But then...
Right. But then she was all weird and didn't talk to him for the rest of the day. Then it's like, she should have known better. Unless she has nothing upstairs.
All right, I'm going to take this one step further. Maybe it's because we are late 30s. Seen a thing or two. Been around the block. But if it happened...
Mm-hmm.
I just... straight up wouldn't give a shit.
It's a body.
Like, yeah.
Move on.
Sarah saw me naked.
Like,
no big deal.
It'd be blushing. Like, I mean,
you've seen me naked.
Things
probably
have
too.
Happened.
Mm-hmm. Things happen.
I walked in on one of your guy friends in the bathroom once where I did not know he was in there. And I just immediately turned around and was like, oh, okay.
Whoops. Shit happens.
Right. And if you are all living together or staying over at somebody's house, and if you're in college or young like these people are, there's probably you're going out and having fun at night. You're probably going to be up, moving around, walking around. Right. We did those things in college.
Yep. So I definitely sleep naked. Like, it's just, I prefer it that way. It's more comfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Shorts. Now that the kids are getting older, like, now trying to find like the loosest pair of shorts I can find to wear to bed. But
really?
Yeah, because...
I get that. It is.
I don't know. I just think there's a line. Like, they're old enough now. Like, they're going to remember that in their brain. So
Well, it's not like you're traipsing around.
No, I agree. But here's my memory that I have. From the Aspenwood home, I was... had a final in the morning at like 7:30 or 8 in the morning. I can't remember what we were doing. We partied the night before. You were at work. Sarah and Joy were home. Pretty sure they knocked on the door multiple times. Pretty sure I was buck ass naked in bed. I'm like, ah, shit. They just came in here to wake my ass up for this college exam. Like, was I naked? Did you see anything? I'm just That whatever.
I don't think I've ever seen your front, but I've definitely seen your butt.
Well, yeah.
You know, that's not a big deal. But I've also been known to walk around in very few clothing. So watch our other episode because I talked about it then.
In a very non-sexual way.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like we're giving the people the wrong idea.
Oh, yeah. No, not sexual. Yeah. Just when you live together, that stuff happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not sexual way. Nope.
So a guy goes skinny dipping in the Boundary Waters. Big deal. I didn't.
I was saying we didn't do that this time.
Now you're ousted last time.
You guys did. Last time. But we were nowhere near.
We were not with on that trip.
We didn't look. Mm. No, I just think she was in the wrong.
Yeah.
This guy's not the asshole. She was in the wrong. To bring it back to this. And I think, you know, be an adult about it. You know, you say, oops, sorry, dude. I'm going to knock next time. Figure it out. It's right. Great that you want to make coffee. That's very kind of her, very sweet of her. But respect other people's privacy is A. And then B, get a fucking lock on your door. Like, oh, where are we living in, like, I don't know.
That's also a good idea.
The 19th century, lock your fucking door.
Here it is.
Get a lock.
Hey, you could have solved this problem for $3.49. Just replace the whole knob with the one that locks. Yep, nailed it. You got that one so spot on.
This was also going through my brain while you were reading this. I was like, does one of these two people who are the roommate and the roommate's girlfriend, like, are they attracted to each other?
Well, because
are
he
they
did like make flirting? The comment.
Like, does he like mm-hmm. her or does she like him? And then, right, like, are they walking a line?
Well, there was a comment in there how he was like, I really like her. Like, right? What did he said something mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah, I really like her. I like to spend time with this individual. Yeah.
So maybe he was like putting it out there.
Right.
Or maybe she felt like that. Maybe she felt some advances. Mm-hmm. But still, then she should have knocked.
Should have knocked.
He did intentionally do it.
He did.
Purposefully.
Yes.
So is he the asshole for doing that?
No.
No.
It's his room. He can do what he wants.
Just wanted to teach that little lesson.
Well, he's making a point, and I think that's okay. Like, it's not okay to walk into someone's room, but he could have gotten a lock. So maybe a little bit the asshole. Can you give like percentages? I think he's 20% the asshole.
80% okay. Not.
Literally, I cannot find one asshole.
No, see? I just saw one.
Oh.
It was being facetious. Oh. Oh my God, what an asshole. You were naked in your own room? Yeah. Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think that just comes with a sense of familiarity when you live with a group of people and you're sharing a small space, because most of the time college houses aren't huge. Mm-hmm. And when I think about the college house that we kind of all shared, especially in Aspenwood, it was small. We all had very small bedrooms. We shared one bathroom. There was one teeny tiny little hallway. Like, if you're not wearing much clothes to bed and you're going to the bathroom in the middle of the night, like, things are gonna, you know, doesn't mean anything.
No,
it doesn't. And again, and maybe it's because I'm in medicine and we're in medicine and we work and bodies are just bodies. And it gets to the point where you've seen so many of them that it's just like,
it's fine, dude.
It's fine. I'm not worried about it. But maybe in my 20s, I would have been like, oh my God.
Just so everybody knows out there, me and OP, we're not weird. We're part of 30% of the population that sleep naked. However, on the other hand, 70%, so it's actually 28.5% sleep naked.
Okay.
And 70% said they have never slept naked.
Oh, I don't think I do intentionally ever.
I was just going to say, I don't typically sleep naked, but sometimes it happens unintentionally. Yeah. And most of the time it's after a few cocktails.
I'm much more comfortable. I like my t-shirt mm-hmm. and my undies.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most comfortable, especially because you sleep naked. You're sweaty and I don't want to like...
Brian sleeps with just his boxers on and yeah, I like to have a little bit more on.
Yeah,
I do. Doesn't always happen, but... If I wake up in the morning and I don't have pajamas on, I go, oh man, today's not going to be a good day.
So I could get down in the weeds here, but let's just keep it surface level for you health people out here.
Okay.
You should know this. Okay.
Oh goodness.
The benefits of sleeping naked for your health.
Mm.
You fall asleep faster.
Do you?
It helps regulate.
You do.
Helps regulate your body's clock for sleep.
Oh, interesting.
You get better sleep quality because of that. It keeps your skin healthier.
How? Why?
Reduces stress and anxiety.
To sleep naked?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
We're all going to start sleeping naked after
prevents
this.
Prevents weight gain?
Well, absolutely. Now I'm going to start sleeping naked. You would think it'd be the opposite, because if you had more clothes on, you'd maybe sweat at night and burn some calories. What's the reasoning behind that? Do they give a reason?
Yeah.
I want to know why.
So there's a couple different things. One, it goes back to the other health benefits, having a better sleep cycle, okay. having your body okay. clock yeah. regulated.
Yep.
But on the other hand, keeping your body colder at night may help boost your calorie burning abilities.
Okay, so colder okay, is better okay. than hotter then.
I got you.
Lower risk of heart disease and type 2 diabetes.
Well, geez. Well,
promotes vaginal health. Do you want me to read about that? Because you got this look on your face. So you're like,
I mean, I think I know where it would go with that, but
fair
I don't
enough.
Know.
Increases male fertility, boosts self-esteem, improves your relationship.
I do think I slept naked a lot more. And when I say naked, I mean like with like a small pair of underwear on. I don't think I've ever really slept like a ton naked, totally naked before I had kids. And I feel like now with the kids, like I don't want them walking in and I'm being like completely butt ass naked.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Mm. And especially like, cause you have a girl, I have girls, but Brian, you know, makes sure he always has boxers on at least because, and we're getting to that point even now where it's like dad's in the bathroom. Like that's his space now.
Yeah.
Like you're yep. coming out of your room. You need to at least have on like underwear and like a cami or something. Like I think it gets to that point where you have to, as a parent, start to be more mindful of it. And right or wrong. I mean, I think there are other people out there that are much more free about it. And that's cool too, but.
So I blame it on my very small house,
mm-hmm.
but my kids see a lot of my body probably often when mm-hmm. I am changing or, mm-hmm. you know, just like from the shower, whatever, because they are always in my room. They're just like there. It's like,
but do you
like,
think as Emmett gets to be 8, 9, 10?
Yeah, I feel like that'd probably be different.
He's going to start
he's
to
still
change.
Pretty little.
You know?
Yeah, he's
because my girls
little.
Still see all of me all the time because they're just yeah. always right on me, but I kind of told them
maybe
recently.
Maybe it's a mom thing too.
Yep. And like I said, girls, it's time to start mm-hmm. being a little bit more careful about your body.
Mm-hmm. Having that okay. body privacy a
mm-hmm.
little bit.
Mm-hmm.
My browser history is going to be just wild tonight. Basically, kids and modesty.
Okay, let's
so
hear it.
At what age should adults start covering up and children start covering up?
Mm-hmm.
Children really have no concept of modesty or private parts.
Mm-mm.
They aren't ashamed of their body, nor should they be.
No,
right?
Absolutely not. And that's fine line you like.
You want to foster that and keep that for as long as possible.
Right. But you also don't want them like to have the guy, the plumber over and they're walking around in their skivvies.
They'd probably be able to recognize the difference between that though, maybe.
I mean,
four.
Maybe.
Okay.
Four years old?
So
oh, God. Okay.
4 to 5 is when you should start covering up.
Wow.
So, and from a guidance standpoint, preschoolers, bathing with a younger sibling, keeping the bathroom mm-hmm. door open while using it, or walking around the house without clothes, perfectly normal for kids younger than 5. Kindergarten, age 5. This is when a child should start covering up.
Interesting.
Gently begin teaching your youngster that their body is beautiful, but private.
Right. Oh, interesting.
Well, if Eloise and Emmett want to take a bath together now, they're 5 and 7. They wear swimsuits. Mm-hmm. And they choose to wear swimsuits. And they just kind of naturally fell into that too, mm-hmm. where it just like felt right. They ask for their privacy. Mm-hmm. We enforce that, you know, if somebody's asking for your privacy, mm-hmm. you need to give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, mm-hmm. swimsuits in the bathtub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. That's
and then lastly, to end it and move on,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to modesty with your children, they probably still feel really comfortable being naked at home, which is perfectly okay. But just remind them to go and put their clothes on. And the key word is remind, don't reprimand.
Mm-hmm.
No negativity mm-hmm. towards mm-hmm. their body.
We really didn't have naked kids. Like, our kids didn't really, like, love to be naked. So they weren't, they, I don't know.
So speaking of sleeping naked, I have twins. They're 8. One of my girls only sleeps in her underwear every single night. She hates putting clothes on. She'd probably sleep without underwear on if I let her. It's not that I ever didn't let her. I think I just, you know.
It was what it was.
Was what it was. And I was like, at least put some underwear on. And so now we've really started to talk about, okay, when you get up in the morning, and especially like when we're traveling and like staying with family.
Yeah.
Like you need to put something on your top half. And I, like I said, I don't care if it's just a little, like they're wearing little bras or little camis, and they're not bras, but like little camis.
Little tank top.
Yeah, put something on, put something on your body. And this comes from a woman who likes very itty bitty bikinis. And so like, I want to foster you being very comfortable in your body, but I also think you need to make sure that you aren't setting yourself up for a bad situation.
So your kids have gone through swim lessons?
Absolutely.
One piece or two piece?
Oh, this is the question. You want to know my answer?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So if you would ask me this question 2, 3, 4 years ago, I would have told you one piece.
And this is for you or the kids?
For what me.
You, okay, for you.
For yes.
For me.
Adult.
Right? For the adult.
Bringing
for
your
me.
Kids to swim class. Okay.
Yeah. And honestly, I think what it stemmed from is when the girls were really little, Brian and I went to the Y, and not for swim lessons, for like open swim. Mm-hmm. And I was wearing a two piece, and somebody came up to me and like, and up to Brian, and said something to Brian and made a comment. A guy, like a older man, made a comment to Brian about my swimsuit.
You're just too hot.
Well, I don't know about that. But, and so I do have
the audacity.
I know. And Brian, and at the Y, like my kids were right there, and I was just like, anywho's. And so I did wear, because I was like worried about it then. It made me uncomfortable. And so I do have a one piece. I wore it for a long time. But now when we go with the family, I wear like a more modest two piece.
Modest for Sarah.
Two piece. Because when I wear bikinis, my bikinis are itty bitty bikinis because I like itty bitty bikinis. And that's okay. But, and my girls have seen me in those. But if I'm going to swim lessons or like, my girls are really good swimmers now, but during COVID, we had to like be in the water with them. I would wear my two piece every once in a while. I'm team two piece all the way.
Whatever you're comfortable in.
I do whatever think you it's feel whatever good you in. Feel good in.
Yeah.
And other people should keep their mouths shut.
Yes. Don't make
comments
about people's bodies. It's like never okay.
Mm-mm. Even if it's a positive comment too. Like
if you don't
in
know
that situation. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it can also be weird. Like this old man coming up to you and being like, oh, hey, you look really good in your two piece.
Yeah.
Like that would also feel weird.
It did. It did.
So moving on.
Sleeping naked. What a thing.
I mean, sleep naked, but maybe start wearing some shorts.
Put a lock on your door, people.
Or put a lock on
there
your door.
There you go.
Buy a $3.49. Or wait, $3.49 lock. Was that what they said it was?
That's right. $3.49.
Lock. Get it.
Problem solved.
All right.
I don't know.
So, normally we don't do this.
Uh-oh.
That's not a big deal.
Okay.
But we're going to do a listener write-in.
Oh, yes.
I am trying to come up with a way to address all of these, and I think all of these write-ins that we have, right? And this just happens to be about friendship, so
no, what? Well, we for sure should include the listener write-ins. That's absolutely. Like probably my favorite part.
Right. Yeah. I just want to make sure I'm addressing all the people that write in. It's hard.
If it fits. Yeah, and if it fits, put it in. Absolutely.
Maybe we should... Like if we get an abundance someday, we don't get we've gotten quite a few.
Enough to where it's like, how am I going to address all of these?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The show just with listeners.
We did.
Oh, that's right. I watched. I listened to that one.
Yeah. So if you haven't checked that one out, very good. We've had
a good one.
Some really great feedback from those individuals.
Yeah, I love that. Is probably my favorite part when they come and they then send us another message and let us know the update of what happened after.
So for anybody that has listened to the listener write in episode on, I think it was the first story with Kevin. And OP. Unfortunately, Kevin and OP are not friends at this point in time. They have taken a break. So
time will tell for that one.
Break sometimes.
Maybe I'll give that some more attention down the line. But here we go. Ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Amy and Matt and guest.
That's me.
I need your advice on how to repair a friendship after I let down my friend with abandonment issues again.
Uh-oh.
Apologies in advance for this long story. I tried to be concise without excluding important details and context, but my best friend and I are both 22 female. We live together in a two-bedroom apartment. We have been friends since high school, and she is my only friend aside from my sister, boyfriend, and, you know, those friendly acquaintances that you have. She doesn't have a large circle either. Well, I messed up by double booking myself and forgetting about plans that I made with my boyfriend a while ago. He and I made plans to spend the whole weekend together as a staycation. My best friend and I have wanted to go to a specific pool since before summer, and we've been trying to make plans to go together. Last time, we set a date. The weather was bad, so we decided not to go. Earlier this week, I suggested we try again for a Saturday. On Friday, when I got home from work, my friend asked me what time I wanted to go tomorrow. At first, I said, go where? Like a dumbass.
Whoopee.
She reminded me about the pool, and then I asked if we could reschedule for next Saturday because I forgot about the staycation with my boyfriend. She said, oh, and went to her room. On Friday, we were supposed to go to the park and have a picnic. But after she went to her room, she texted me that she had a headache and she didn't want to go anymore. I know she has abandonment issues because she has told this to me often. I believe they are due to her childhood as well as past toxic relationships where she was cheated on. I fear I have also contributed because I stopped being friends with her for a couple of years when I moved in with my controlling high school boyfriend. He sucked, but I blame myself for not fighting enough for my friendship with her. But after I finally broke up with him, she and I pretty much went back to normal and we became roommates. I apologized to her for how shitty of me that was, and she said that she has forgiven me. My current boyfriend, amazing, not controlling, and I really try to prioritize hanging out with her, and he really supports and encourages that. Earlier this week, for example, she and I went to the movies together. I've tried to somewhat right my wrongs of the past, but I think I triggered her abandonment issues by forgetting my plans and double booking. After she texted me she didn't want to go to the park, I responded that I'm sorry I forgot about my plans with my boyfriend, and that wasn't cool. I would still really like to hang out together. Maybe we can plan on the park again for next week and do the pool next Saturday. I'll drive us and buy food, I even mentioned. She responded that she might have other plans on Saturday, but she'll let me know. I said we could do Sunday and just let me know. How do I resolve things? And I think I've really upset her, and she probably feels like I'm choosing a guy over her again from my past. Any advice, insight, or constructive criticism is welcome. Thanks so much.
Oof. That's a lot to unpack. A tough one, because I think she's really trying, and I think that it was an honest mistake, but I do think it goes back to her. She knows her friend feels abandonment issues or has issues and feels, you know, hurt by that. And so I almost wonder, you know, if she has this great boyfriend, if maybe they could have come up with another solution and all try to do something together, especially if they seem to get along. That's hard. That's a hard one.
It is hard. And I can see where the friend would feel like that she's choosing her boyfriend over her and how that just doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, you know, if I'm so low on their totem pole, why am I going through and putting in this, all this effort to schedule these get-togethers. So I can see where that would come from. And I think that she's just hurt. So I think that if it were me, I would come in from a very, very vulnerable position and just be and call it out and have a conversation with her and be like, hey, I am really sorry about this. I know it happened. And looking back, I wish that I would have, if I could have rescheduled my boyfriend's staycation, if that were at all possible, you know, that probably is what I should have done so that we could have, you know, continued to keep our plans. Or if it's a staycation, you know, just tell your boyfriend, oh, hey, I know that we're planning on just staying home this weekend, but for this many hours, I need to go hang out with my friend because I accidentally double booked myself. And if he's awesome, he should understand. Exactly. Because you do need to put work into both of those relationships in order to support that. So I think coming from the spot being like, I love you. I think you're amazing. I want to spend time with you. I know it must feel like I just like blew you off, but that wasn't my intention. And I really want to make it up to you because I know that I hurt you. And I'm really sorry. And I'm going to try my hardest not to do that again. So, you know, how can I make it up to you? And maybe just asking her, what do you need? What do you need from me? Tell me how you're feeling. Tell me how it made you feel. And just have an honest conversation about your friendship and where it's at. And I think if you do that, and if you continue to do that, especially when you are having these, I think it's, in the grand scheme of things, going to be a minor conflict. When you have these minor conflicts, when you have hurt feelings, if you approach it in that way, I think you're going to really be able to have strong, healthy friendships that are going to be lifelong. I think that is part of the thing that makes our friendship so strong. We are very different people.
And I was going to say this, like the exact same thing. Like we have had those moments where I've maybe hurt your feelings and it's probably more this direction because I can be more direct than, you know, and we will
it
talk.
It still has gone the other way.
And we will talk them out. And I think what we always come back to, and I've said this, and I know that you would never intentionally do something to hurt me. And I think you feel this, you hopefully feel the same way about me. Like I would never do something to jeopardize this and really all of our friendships, you know? And so I think if you can try to have that conversation and hash that out and really say like, I value this relationship means a lot to me. I have these other relationships that also mean a lot to me and juggling that is hard, but how can we make this work? Hopefully you can come together and figure it out as a group even.
Just saying you're sorry.
Saying you're sorry honest. Goes a long ways.
Admitting that it was your mistake and you're at fault. Like it's hard to do and hard to admit sometimes, but calling it out.
Recognizing her feelings and saying, I understand why this was probably hurtful. And I'm sorry that I did that.
What do you think?
What do you think?
You both have changed my take on what I was going to say.
Oh, really?
I'm all about unloading clips.
Well, and this is the situation you're in right now, which sometimes has to happen. But
at first, I wanted to take the approach of grow up, Peter Pan. Double bookings happen. And your friend just needs to figure her shit out. It happens. Like, unfortunately, you guys don't have the biggest circle. And that's okay. That's great. So after listening to you guys, that is, I had to remind myself, you guys, you two are still friends. You want to maintain that relationship. If you care about that relationship, that is probably the approach that I would take. I know that you did say that you were sorry. However, I think a text message for me, maybe I'm just old, but saying it in person and actually having a conversation goes a lot further than just a text message. And I will say, if you are able to communicate your feelings and be able to talk about it both ways, this is how I feel, this is what happened, and not hold things in or hold things back during those conversations, your relationship is going to be a lot stronger. I have the problem of, I'll just hold it all in. And then you just have two, three, four, too many cocktails. And then you're, you know, the machine gun is just unloaded. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you just let it all out. Yeah, that's my toxic trait. One of a few. But
I don't recommend that approach.
Don't. No.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I also think that, like, if somebody is your true friend, they're going to be there for you in your best, in your worst, in your happiest, in your saddest. They're going to meet you where you need them to meet you at the time. And so, you know, I think that kind of goes both ways in this story. You know, this, right. the OP is, you know, saying, shoot, I messed up. I'm sorry. But then also the friend is hurt and she's been hurt in the past and has that trauma. And so how do they kind of, you know, as the old saying goes, walk in each other's shoes and then try to come together and recognize where each other's coming from can be hard. But I think, you know, if the friendship means enough to you, and it sounds like they've been friends for a long time, you know, mm-hmm. they took a little break, which was unfortunate, but, I think they can get there. And so I encourage you, if you're listening, to talk to your friend and, you know, maybe go out for a cup of coffee, or, you know, if sometimes, you know, for me anyways, even a glass of wine can kind of make it easier for me to share my emotions, and don't go overboard.
Yes.
One glass. Looking at you, Matt LaFleur.
One to two max.
One to two max. But I think, you know, having those conversations and being vulnerable and empathetic mm-hmm. can really strengthen your relationship. Mm-hmm. And your friends are going to see you at your best and your worst, and they should be okay with all of those things. And if they're not, they're not your true friends. So,
yeah. And sometimes if you're thinking about, how do I start this conversation? I think maybe people think that this might be dumb, but I feel like I have in the past, or I would even like buy flowers.
Yes.
Or buy like a little gift from TJ mm-hmm. Maxx, you know, like a cute little something or other mm-hmm. that you really feel like your friend would like bring a gesture mm-hmm. or yeah, buy a bottle of wine mm-hmm. and come on over and be like, hey, you know, I'm sorry here. This is for you. I've been thinking about this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel terrible. Mm-hmm. I mm-hmm. want us to be better again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can we just sit down and talk for a little bit? Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. and if she really is a true friend, she'll be like, yeah, let's mm-hmm. do it. Let's talk about it. Or she might say, you know, I'm not quite ready, mm-hmm. but maybe we could talk in a week or something. You can schedule it.
Yep. And that's okay too.
Yeah.
If people need more time
and space. Mm-hmm. But
bring the boyfriend to the pool.
Bring the boyfriend to the pool. We had a little bit of a conversation earlier when we were talking about what we were going to talk about tonight. And I had a friend who's not my friend anymore. But she would always choose to, like, so we were had plans to hang out and something better would come up. So it wasn't like an unintentional double booking, but it was like a, hey, this other thing came up, so I'm going to do that instead. And she would ditch me for it. And that's not okay.
It just feels really wrong.
And I always felt like, you know, hey, you're like going to the beach or you're going to do this or that. I could come with. So bring them with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More the merrier. Do it together. Especially if they get along. Like,
more the merrier.
More the merrier. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have plenty of, we have dated for a long time. And so we've had plenty of times where, like, you didn't have a boyfriend for quite a while.
I didn't.
And so it was the three of us who would go do stuff mm-hmm. or, mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Matt had a friend who, like, just the three of us would go do whatever as mm-hmm. a group. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, don't feel like that other person is going to be a third wheel. You can all just be friends.
You can.
I love a good third wheel.
And a great wingman. Wingman.
There you go.
Boom. Done. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
Are you ready?
Here we are.
All right. Here we go. Let's
do it.
Let's close this down with one last Reddit story.
Okay.
All right.
Ready.
Am I the asshole for uninviting my best friend for my wedding because she keeps telling people that she dated my fiance first?
I'm glad we don't have this problem.
It's a weird thing to do.
It is a weird thing to do. Okay.
Izzy, 27, and I, 26, female, have been friends since we were born. We were practically raised together. We were closer in college, but after that, we have been drifting apart a little. But I still had a strong bond up until recently. She has been there for me through a lot. So it's tough. This is a tough situation. After college, when Izzy was 23, she went on a few dates with Jake, my fiance, but then told him she wasn't interested in anything serious. Even though I was her best friend, I didn't really know Jake because she used to get asked out a lot, but only a few turned serious. So I knew about her boyfriends, but not necessarily her dates. Almost a year after that, I moved in with Izzy, and so we got close again. It was after this that I met Jake. We quickly became good friends. I used to talk about him to Izzy a lot, but it's when I showed her his picture that she recognized him and told me about her dates with him. Friendships were more important to me than any guy back then, so I asked her if it was okay if I dated him because I liked him a lot. She said she didn't have a problem with that and joked about it. She said she had no problem and joked about it ever turning into a relationship, which I took as a joke. Jake and I became serious pretty quickly. He's my soulmate. But then Izzy and I lost touch a bit since I moved in with Jake, and work became more of a priority right until I got engaged. She used to still joke to both me and Jake that she didn't think we would be this into each other. And at the time, I saw it as funny because Jake is the opposite of me. After I got engaged, she became very weird. She was very shocked. She couldn't believe it. Then later, she used to tell me I'm too young to get married and if I'm sure. But I saw this just as a concern, although she agreed to be my maid of honor along with my sister. Afterwards, I posted on Instagram about our engagement and people were reposting it, congratulating us, but Izzy just captioned it saying, "You better mention me in your vows because he was into me first. Ha ha." Jake felt very uncomfortable, and so did I, but I defended her saying, "Oh, that's just Izzy. She jokes around a lot." But I still let her know that it was a bit uncomfortable, and she said she was just joking. After Christmas, we hosted a dinner party, and that day, Izzy just kept telling all the friends and family gathered that Jake actually dated her first, and that she let me have him.
Oofty.
Even after telling her, it was not okay she joked around. Later, I told her that she was crossing my boundaries and that it wasn't okay, to which she said I was overreacting. In the end, I told her to not attend the wedding at all.
Yikes.
I've been overthinking a lot after that. Right now, people who know about this are just choosing sides based on who they know more. I'm worried I'm ruining a lifelong friendship when I'm not even right. What if to her it really was just a joke and I'm not being understanding enough, but she is not being supportive or positive, which I think is unfair. I'm just so confused.
Here's what I think. I think that her friend has some major insecurities in herself, and viewing OP and being engaged to this person, she's like, I could have had that. I could have done that. That could have been me. And so she is compensating or overcompensating for this insecurity by making these jokes to be like basically putting OP down. Being like, well, he was into me first. Like, she's getting my seconds.
But they didn't, he didn't know both of them at that time. That's where it's like,
two completely different situations.
Right.
So I think that she, the friend, is entirely at fault.
I agree.
And the problem is that unless she really does some introspection, which I don't think she's going to do, I don't know how she is ever going to stop, because she's gaslighting OP, being like, you're crazy. You're making this into a bigger deal than it is. It's not a big deal. When it is a big deal, it's hurtful, and she's not hearing her for that. So, because then you worry and you wonder, well, on your wedding day, is she going to make hurtful comments? like she did there. Mm-hmm. Like if she's not able to acknowledge, oh, I can see how that's in poor taste, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. then I think that it might not be the worst thing to disinvite her from the wedding. Mm-hmm. Is it drama? Yep. Does it kind of suck? Yep. But if she's not able to see where she's in the wrong, then she might not have been a true friend to begin with. Mm-hmm.
I think it goes back to what we talked about before. And if she was a good friend, you should be able to sit down and have that hard conversation and say, hey, look, this hurt my feelings. You may not have meant to hurt my feelings. This may not have been something that you were like, oh, I'm hurting her feelings. I thought it was funny. But if she can't see that and then take a step back and look at it from your shoes, then yeah, I agree. I would ditch her too. And it's unfortunate because is she losing other friends? That's how she kind of, mm-hmm. the original poster kind of made that comment about how people are taking sides. That's really unfortunate because it sounds like the original poster isn't trying to drag this person through the mud either. But yeah, gosh, if they can't sit down and have that conversation and the friend Izzy see it from both sides, then she's not a true friend.
Yeah, I got nothing. I don't know. I don't even understand how people are taking sides.
I agree.
Right. Yeah.
Make sense to me that, yeah, you're being a bitch. Mm-hmm. Don't bring that shit up. Keep that to yourself. Right. Even if you're thinking it.
Even if everybody knows.
Your mouth.
Right. And if it is funny, ha ha, people, you know, maybe some people think that is funny. But like if your friend is coming to you and saying, this is hurting my feelings, this is my wedding, this is my day, this is my time, then you drop it. You apologize, you say, I'm sorry, and you move on. She's not doing that. I say she's the asshole, not right. the original poster.
Izzy needs to realize intention and impact. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. This was the intention that it was a joke. Mm-hmm. Here's the impact that I'm having. Oh, I'm the asshole. Yep. I need to knock it off.
Whoopee.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Completely agree. That's an easy one. That's like a no-brainer.
And it's very easy to just stop making the joke. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like she's asking her to move a mountain.
No. But I do see where the original poster is like, what if she does her maid of honor speech and starts talking about how she dated my husband first? Like, that would be so awkward and so embarrassing. And they didn't even know each other at that point in time. And so, yeah.
Icky. And then when she looks back on her wedding, it'll like, be it negative. Might just be marred mm-hmm. a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you don't want any of that. You don't want the drama.
No. And this is drama.
If you can help it.
This is drama. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the individuals who commented on this story, he puts it so much better than what I was going to say. I'm glad I found this. Just smile and then every time she brings it up, you have to add debt back to Izzy's story. You know, sometimes you just have to kiss a few frogs before you find a princess.
Yes. Ooh. I mean, if you were going to be the bigger person's not the right answer, petty. But if you were just going to be petty and push it back.
You could.
I'm not that person.
Clips.
Most of the time, but you could.
The clips. Not that clever, like so quickly. Me neither.
Like,
probably be laying in bed at night, trying to fall asleep, taking me clearly longer to fall asleep than Matt because he's sleeping naked and I've got a t-shirt on. Takes me longer to fall asleep. Stewing in my brain, and then I'd be like, ooh, I should have said that. Yes. That would have been so good.
Mm-hmm. Got her.
Mine's in the shower. I think of these things in the shower. That's when I come up with those things.
Shower. You shower for like 2 seconds.
I know, but I come up with brilliant things in the shower all the time.
Sarah is the fastest showerer I've ever met. You're very efficient in all things that you do.
Very efficient in the shower. Well, all things maybe, but the shower especially.
Yeah.
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 Well, there we go. That was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah. Thanks for hopping on with us again. Yeah.
I enjoyed it again. This was fun.
We always have so much fun.
We do have fun. Absolutely.
All right. Well,
okay. Can we, before we wrap up and go, mm-hmm. can we tell everybody how to submit their own listener write-ins? Because I love them so much. Mm. And I don't even know how people are submitting their listener write-ins. Tell us how it's done.
Gosh.
All right,
everyone. You can find a link under our Instagram profile. You'll click into that. You can find everything Midwest Married. And there is a button that's going to say, submit a write-in, and you just click that. It'll take you to a Google form. It gives you a couple of different options. Punch in your info if you want. Write us anything you want, questions, stories, topic ideas, happy to gather those, talk about them eventually down the road here. I did have a question that was emailed to me, was how do we know if our write-ins are submitted? Hmm. Once you hit the submit button, it'll say your form was submitted and you have the option to go back and add another story or another write-in.
I'm going to put a write-in in.
You do it. Should.
I'm going to.
So yes,
but I'm going to leave please it write in.
I want to see if I can guess.
Is it an option? You probably know everything about me, so you probably read it and be like, it's Sarah.
Probably. I think you need to have your email.
Oh, well, then maybe not.
It's not required.
Oh.
Well, but it is there. So if you do put your email in, I have attempted to write back to everyone that we have read.
Nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
As you should.
I'm trying.
I know.
As you should. We like it.
We're still learning, you guys. Thank you so much for being patient. I really started this, when we started this podcast, the biggest fear that I had was that people weren't going to be mean to us. and that my little gentle heart probably and my rose-colored glasses probably could not handle it. But everybody thus far has been really pretty kind, but also honest and with like really nice like feedback and criticisms that are really actually helpful. So, I haven't minded that at all. My sanity is still intact. I'm not more anxious, which I think is a good thing. So, thank you for all the support. If we haven't said it enough, we really, really appreciate it. And this has been really fun. One thing that we've also talked about is how after every single episode that we do, we put the little headphones off and we're like, oh, that was so fun. Like we end always in a better mood than when we started because we're always doing this like after the kids go to bed. So
we were all pretty like tired tonight.
I know.
And we were all just like, right. But now I'm like ready to go. Like, are we going out tonight, guys? Like, where's the babysitter?
We'll pour you another glass of wine.
I'll have one more.
There we go. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being Minnesota nice. I appreciate it.
Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe, guys. Thank you. We appreciate you and have a good night.
Good night. Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.